terrible news. Raven is not rich anymore, my co-host.
Wait a minute. What?
Well, you know what happened. Now, remember, last month, Raven was very excited because SpaceX went public, and he said this.
$135 was the initial offer. I got in at that price point.
Right.
And then I doubled my shares at $150. And they went all the way up, I think I want to say, to $212.
And you bragged and bragged and bragged on the air about how rich you are and how rich you're going to be now that you have all this SpaceX stock. And
right.
I had pointed out you had bought the Dogecoin, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't such a great investment, but you swore that this was going to be the thing that made you a trillionaire.
Here's the thing, Anna, all right? Stocks are a long game,
yeah.
All right? This is not for the faint at heart, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get a couple launch delays here or there. You find out about Starlink, whether it's working or not. All the satellites got to move around all the time. And, you know, all of a sudden the projections go a little bit lower. But I'm not scared. I'm still going to be crazy rich. I'm just not rich at the moment.
Okay, how much is the stock worth?
Well, where would you like to begin? At Dogecoin, or would you like to go to SpaceX?
Well, let's see. You bought Dogecoin at what price?
I don't know. A lot. Too much.
Right.
I own 4,200 shares of it.
And how much is it worth right now? You have 4,200 shares.
Currently, my Dogecoin shares appear to be worth about $300 and something.
Okay. That seems not great for 4,200 shares of something.
Yeah.
My
math
isn't awesome.
I didn't spend $4,200 on it. But I'll tell you right now, it was markedly more than it is valued at the moment.
And now how about the SpaceX, which you swore was going to be a thing that catapulted you into richness?
Yeah. Well, SpaceX is still going to make me wealthy. You just wait till we're doing hotels on Mars. All
okay.
right. But right now, today, it's valued at $123.30.
Well, that's not so bad. It's
no.
only down a couple dollars for like the initial.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen after? Is it going to crash and burn? And then what happens to your money?
Here's the thing that I'm nervous about is that they keep talking about the fact that SpaceX might break into a couple different types of companies. Uh-huh. And if they all of a sudden start, you know, we're going to get an AI, we're going to do this and not space shuttles or whatever it may be, then I'm going to have a problem with it. Then I'm going to be afraid, right? But today, right now, I just got to tell myself, relax and don't look at it. I've got a friend who looks at his retirement fund every single day, and he'll let his whole mood be dictated by whether or not it's in the green or the red at that moment. I would suggest get a short memory, right? Look elsewhere. Find other things to do with your time and then come back to it when you really need that money.
I believe that day when you purchased that stock, you came in here, declared that you were rich and probably wouldn't be working much longer. Do you still want to stand by that comment?
I will be rich, okay? But as far as, you know, my investment portfolio goes,
right.
I'm going to show you a graph and you can just describe and tell people what it looks
so
like right now.
So the graph started like pretty high.
Yeah, and then it's got its own ups and downs,
and
like
then
it will.
No, they were like little ups and downs. But then imagine if you fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you nosedove directly into the ground and you...
kind of like Wile E. Coyote
and
Roadrunner.
Yeah, and you got to the bottom of the cliff and then you dropped dead. That's where Raven stocks are right now. Congratulations on that.
Keep looking to the right,
and then
though.
It just keeps being on the deadline.
No,
it's like you just lost life.
It actually goes lower over here.
Yeah, I don't even know how that happens.
It's like the Mariana Trench of investing. It's not good.
No.
But I'll be rich again.
I doubt that. When you need advice on your cat's health and longevity, there's only one person you should go to.
Who that?
A gangsta rapper. Trending is three things you need to know about today, and it's all powered by Drip Drop. Drip Drop is doctor-developed, proven fast hydration. Stock up now on all your favorite flavors at dripdrop.com. Before we get to gangsta rappers giving health advice to your cat, people are sneaky, and they're smart, even when they're doing illegal things. President Trump's
sometimes
teleprompter.
Sometimes the best at doing those things.
Right? I mean, like, who would have thought this? President Trump's teleprompter operator is believed to have been making tens of thousands of dollars by placing bets on his speeches.
Nice.
So, you know, the prediction market,
right,
Kalshi?
Like Kalshi.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
So he would read what the president was going to say, go and place the bets before he actually read the speech and make all the money. Like, reportedly, he made over $100,000.
It's wild the stuff that you can bet on, and it's also wild how rampant the insider stuff on those types of projections is.
Yeah.
I don't know how you stop it if you're going to let people bet on that stuff, right? There'll always be a go-between.
This is what the White House press secretary had to say.
Well, the White House has extremely strict ethical guidelines with respect to issues like this, and as I just told you, this individual will no longer be here. He'll be on without pay. The administrative leave is unpaid.
Probably the right move.
Isn't it amazing that they're like, we have policies in place for this stuff? No, you don't. You've never heard of this before. This has never been an issue until this exact second. You wrote that policy yesterday.
I was like, man, that's teleprompter. Man, it's smart guy. Smart person.
Yeah, except when he goes to prison.
Exactly.
Let's see how that works out.
Up next, we have gangsta rapper Xzibit. He has been bombarded with fans asking
him. Do you consider Xzibit to be a gangster rapper?
Yes, I do.
I consider like dad gangster rapper, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, so all his fans have been asking how he keeps his cat healthy at 20 years old.
Thundercat has been in my life for a long time. And everybody's asking how I kept her alive for this long.
I mean, fair question.
Thundercat's 20.
Yeah.
My cats were 22, Xzibit. Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I love my cat. I take care of her and I look out. So she's an older cat. She had a thyroid issue. And it was a treatment that I had to get done and to fix that problem.
Mm. I mean, that seems normal. Your
yeah,
cat
you
has
took
an
it
issue.
To the vet.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
Congratulations. Thank you, Xzibit.
Yeah, then he talks about what he feeds her.
Mm-hmm.
She likes dry food, and I also give her Royal Canin. She likes junk food sometimes, so I give her this.
The funny part is that he calls the cat food junk food. The one he calls junk food is Fancy Feast.
Oh, that is junk food.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's fancy, though.
No, it's not fancy at all. Just only in name.
Then he also does this.
Mm.
But because she had kidney issues, we had to give her fluids. So we got a great doctor and nurse give her fluids to help with her kidney stuff.
They've got an on-call nurse.
Yes, they have a nurse that comes that administers IV to the cat. I'm like, oh.
This is how you know I'm not a gangster, is that we have to give my dog his diabetic injections ourselves.
So that's how you keep your cat alive to 20.
Thanks, Xzibit.
And who is this guy? It's not even a guy. It's a creature, and he's being called Jimothy.
What am I looking at?
You have the strangest body, buddy. Holy cow.
There's a raccoon in Seattle that's been going viral because it's so recognizable. And if you've seen the videos on Instagram or TikTok, you know exactly what
he's
talking about.
He's got a back issue.
His name is Jimothy, and he suffers from short spine syndrome, which gives him this recognizable shape and posture. The only
he's
way
like
I
round.
Can describe it, yeah.
He's like a raccoon ball.
Like of Stranger Things. Like, think about the show Stranger Things. Like, of a creature emerged from a bush.
He's cuter than that.
It is a strange-looking creature, but I want to look at it from a mile away. I don't want it anywhere near me.
Wildlife don't feel bad for themselves. He's just out there existing. We are rooting for you, Jimothy.
Yes.
We're rooting for you today.
What if you found out that stores could change prices when you walk in the door because they know your shopping habits? That's happening, and it's called surveillance pricing or digital pricing, and Walmart is implementing this technology in all its stores by the end of the year. Christine Hines is a senior policy director at the National Association of Consumer Advocates.
Christine, I feel like this is the beginning of the end right here. Precedent is going to be set, and this could be a very large problem. Please tell me I'm wrong, but I'll still think you're a liar.
Oh, my gosh. What I will say is consumers have a real right to be concerned because it is the beginning for stores to add these personalized pricing, essentially to raise prices. That's what Walmart is there for. It's there to make a profit.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the biggest advantages that we've always had as shoppers or something to level the playing field is posted pricing. If there's a posted price, it has to be that price. And if you've moved that price, you have to guarantee the posted price that's out there. You get these with the flyers. You get these with signage. In certain states, it's even illegal for the store to charge a different price. But this will change all that. Essentially, this will wipe it out. You'll never know exactly what the price is going to be until you're at the actual register. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, this has been happening on the digital marketplace. They've been tracking our data. They have profiles and they've been setting prices and things based on what we're doing online. And what Walmart has done now is that now it's in stores.
They must track and know that I'm an idiot because I read that when you would have to change all the pricing in the stores, it would take the workers 2 days to go through.
That's what they want you to believe, right? It's all for your benefit.
Well, that makes sense. Sure, you put these electronic things and then you fluctuate it. What I didn't realize is that they can profile and be like, oh, this lady doesn't know how to use a coupon and she's always going to buy bananas. Quick, let's like jack up the bananas, which I don't think is going to happen, but ultimately they could.
I mean, everybody always wants to talk about good intent early on and they'll be like, oh, we would never. But of course, we see time after time, things evolve naturally. It happens right away.
Yeah, this is a starting point. And if they are tracking, it's not really about the workers, in my view. It's about how they can update those prices immediately at that point for that person. It's about the bottom line.
The most terrifying thing to me, Christine, is they're taking this data. And it's not just about general shoppers' data. As you said, it's individual shoppers' data. I mean, they've got the facial recognition when you walk in the store. They know who you are. Let's say you're a young parent. They know that you typically go to the grocery store on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. or whatever it may be. And they know that you're most likely to buy formula or baby food or whatever it is while you're there. They can adjust those prices for that individual.
I have a dumb question. As somebody who's just learning about this, that means like the little tiny price tag that's now digital will change when I walk by? Because if I see something and it says $4.99 and then all of a sudden I look over my shoulder really quick and there's another lady standing there and it goes to $4.69. Like, that's not a real thing, or is it?
So Walmart has said that they're not using it for that. But the fact is that the technology is capable
it's
of
there.
Doing that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's weird.
There.
I think what it'll make people do is when they see those new digital price tags on things, they'll think twice. Because before this interview, I didn't really understand that. And I think it just creates awareness. So that's a good thing.
You need what you need when you need. And imagine when this comes to getting your oil changed or getting a new roof. It's far reaching.
Well, Christine Hines, Senior Policy Director at the National Association of Consumer Advocates, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
What if you could find love at a grocery store?
I love that idea.
Raven, I'm going to need some Finnish music. Very, very loud Finnish music.
Okay.
All right. What is happening in Finland that is not happening in America? Love. Raven, producer Sophia.
It seems like a blanket statement, but okay.
Let me be more specific.
Thank you.
Love at a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm in a grocery store in Finland right now, and I've never seen anything like this.
What has she possibly seen at the Finnish grocery store?
What's she doing all over there all Americanized? She's like, I'm at a Finnish grocery store.
She was in Finland, Raven.
Okay, I guess.
It's another country far away.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, they have these pink baskets, and it's not just special because they're pink. So it's a single basket that if you would like to find love at the grocery store, you can walk around with a pink basket.
Okay. They have special baskets, you know, so you have like your carts.
Pink
and
color.
The hand baskets. Mm-hmm. They're the hand baskets, but they're pink. And it's just for one reason and one reason only, Raven and producer Sophia.
And maybe that's how you find a husband.
Yeah.
So in Finland, you don't have to, you know, go out to the bar or the club to meet someone. You can just use a pink basket at the grocery store.
Show of hands. Yeah. Who hates the basket, by the way, over a cart? I mean, there is a cart, a carriage available with wheels.
Right.
I never go. Thank you, Sophia.
Yeah,
my wife always is like, we can just use a basket. And I'm like, who would ever do that in America?
I do it and I make a mistake every time because I go in for three things.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, it's like my
arm weighs 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Right. You get a ring in your arm because it's like weighing down. But okay. But it's not a problem over there in Finland.
No, because that's how you find love.
Okay.
You go in. I wonder, like, do you even go for actual groceries or do you go just to shop the guys?
Just
right?
Pick up the pink basket.
Yeah. So, Sophia, here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
As a young single woman, would you want to do this? Do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea?
This is wild. I would never want to find love at the grocery store.
Why?
Is that right?
Because I go like with mismatched shoes on and in sweatpants. Like that is not my best look at all.
Wait a minute.
But wouldn't that mean like, you know, somebody that finds you at the grocery store, you know, accepts you for all that you are?
For the fact that you can't match your shoes?
In your pink basket?
No, I'm just saying that I go in like my worst state.
You don't want to be seen there.
I just want to be comfortable. I don't want to find love at the grocery store.
Okay. See, here's the problem I have. And the minute I thought it, I got mad at myself. It attracts creepy guys.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to do that.
Right.
How do we know that there's any creepy guys in Finland? I mean, yeah, I suspect that there are. But
I don't know. I feel like the
probably lower quotient than there is here.
America. Right? I immediately thought Finnish guys are probably nicer than American guys. I don't know why.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what if this was like a norm? Like that was a place that you go to pick up somebody? Because not everybody's comfortable at the bars. Not everybody's comfortable at the clubs. And this is a place to do it.
I think that, you know, back in the day, it was more like this. You go to wholesome places where you're doing your laundry, where you're doing your grocery shopping. On the other hand, being comfortable with, you know, walking around with a pink basket, I believe, also is directly proportionate to the desperation quotient. Whatever your graph is.
Vulnerable.
Some days you may, you know, years, you'd be like, no way.
Yeah.
And then another day you'd be like, oh no, I need this.
Yeah.
I need this to happen.
I come up with a few ideas of places that should have dating signals. Your coffee shop, if you have a pink cup. So now you go sit down with your coffee cup and you know that you're approachable, right?
I thought that was a good idea. You do that, right?
Okay.
How about like a gym towel? You go into the gym because sometimes when you're at the gym, maybe you're feeling cute. You're feeling yourself. You're like, you know what? Give me one of those pink towels today. Let me see if I can get some. No?
I don't think so. No?
Yeah, I'm not going to answer for women on that. It feels creepy.
Beach umbrella. Like you go to the beach and you're with your girlfriends and you're like, you know what? We're here to have a good time. And you put up your pink umbrella and all of a sudden, like the guys know, like we can approach this umbrella.
I like it.
Everyone is talking about how Christopher Nolan is a genius. The new Odyssey movie is a masterpiece. What if he had to direct children? Would it be so easy? That's what I want to know.
I mean, he did direct Christian Bale in the Batman trilogy. So there's that.
Producer Justin, you saw the new Odyssey movie. What did you think about it?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was very good.
If you're not familiar with the Odyssey, it's Homer's epic poem. It dates back to, I mean, what time? It's like Greek mythology back then, like, right? Am I getting that right?
Centuries BC, yes.
Yeah. Long, long time ago.
Yes. Very, very long time ago. So what I thought was, it's a tale as old as time, as Beauty and the Beast would tell you. And I had a bunch of children read some of the most famous quotes from the epic Odyssey.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I thought, since producer Justin is such a person that knows so much.
I mean, he's cultured. He's a Renaissance man. He's an educated gentleman.
I'm just a fan.
If you could identify who said these quotes in the Odyssey, okay?
Okay.
Here's the first one.
Nobody is killing me by force and fraud.
Nobody is killing me by force and fraud. Who said that?
That's one of my favorite parts of the entire story. That's
of course
the Cyclops.
It is. That is the Cyclops. Also, there's a Cyclops in the Odyssey.
There in the book.
Of course.
In the poem, there are several Cyclops. Mm-hmm. Cyclops. Cyclops.
What do you call
it? Cyclops.
Cyclopses.
Cyclopses.
Okay.
Cyclops.
What do you call a bunch of them walking together? Is it a herd of Cyclops? What is it? The murder of Cyclops? I don't know. Another question for another day.
There is a time for many words, and there is also a time for sleep.
There's a time for many words, so there's also a time for sleep.
Are you going to repeat every single quote?
Well, I mean, I'm not.
I mean, why don't you let them do it? They're the performers.
I was directing them like Christopher Nolan.
I mean, again, he doesn't repeat all the lines in the movie. Justin?
But that's Odysseus himself.
That is Odysseus himself.
Yeah, that's
why he's so good.
That's when he's recounting his tale to one of the courts that he visits in the Odyssey, and he's tired because he's been sailing for 10 years, and he just wants to go to bed.
I believe that he said that I'm just a fan. That's what he said 10 minutes ago. Okay, go ahead.
My name is Nobody.
That's also Odysseus.
It is Odysseus. My name is
it's
Nobody.
It's going to be 100 here. She just can't help herself. Look at this.
Curse you, Odysseus.
Curse you, Odysseus.
More angry.
Curse you, Odysseus.
What? I picture Christopher Nolan doing the same thing.
That's Matt Damon. That's what he said to Matt Damon. He was like, be more angry. You think I also had to direct these children, just like Christopher Nolan. I told you.
You're the same. You and Christopher, you're the same. You're totally the same.
Yep.
Who's that, Justin?
Well, this one could be tricky. This could be any of multiple characters. Yeah. This could be Circe. This could be the Cyclops again.
It's Polymetheus.
That's the Cyclops again.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Look at this. We don't even know the Cyclops' name.
My heart longs for home.
One more time with passion.
My heart longs for home.
All right.
She tried.
I'm going to say Odysseus again.
My heart. Yeah, you're right. It's Odysseus.
My heart longs for home.
Gosh. I mean, he's really good at this.
I mean, that's the theme of the entire book.
Say it with more passion and anger.
I'm an Adonis.
I don't know if I want to send my kids to work with you, Anna Zapp. I got to be honest, you know.
This is a trick question.
Is that Antonis?
It could be anybody. It's a common phrase used by several characters.
Everybody says it. Everybody says it in this one. Okay, we'll give that one to you, too.
No one escapes his destiny.
I think we should just leave it there. No one escapes his destiny.
Justin said that.
Oh, good rule. You said that? No, I'm sure. It was also Athena. It was also Athena. There's a few ways you can call out someone that you feel has wronged you. You can confront them. You can be the bigger person, let it go. Or you can have AI write a scathing song about why they're such a terrible person.
You love AI.
I do. Take it away, robots.
We boarded up that JetBlue flight, buckled in, all feeling right. Then came a calm voice overhead. Someone has a nut allergy, the captain said.
Here's a little backstory. My 7-year-old has severe food allergies, and we go to a clinic very far away to take care of her food allergies. We have to fly there every 10 weeks. You know, you're a parent. You'll do whatever you can for your kids.
I had no idea that the captain was making these announcements for you.
Well, how it works on JetBlue is you have to notify them that you have a child with severe allergies, and they come into the row. And they make the announcement that if you're in the row behind or in front, they ask you not to have nuts.
It's an airborne issue.
Peanuts is her airborne illness.
Which is crazy to me. Like a regular person, I did not know that that was a thing.
I understand that this is my problem. This is not your problem. But I do a lot of things to try to help out. Here's the robots.
Okay.
Please hold the peanuts if you can. Help us out, lend a hand. A simple ask, a little grace. You'd think compassion won that race.
It's like I feel like I'm watching one of those adoption commercials there, and like there's a single tear streaming down my cheek.
The woman right behind our room asked, can I have almonds? Nice to know. I smiled and said, just let me see. I'll mask my little girl. That's easy.
So the woman. Now, I know the guy behind me has peanut M&Ms. I've seen.
You know this.
I saw him. I saw him, like, walk on with his hands full. He had Sour Patch Kids. He had peanut M&Ms. He basically robbed a candy store
this
before getting on here.
A grown man.
Grown man sitting right behind my daughter.
I mean, now, he's entitled to his snacks.
Of course he is.
Okay.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
So when the woman said to me, she said, can I have almonds? I said, no problem. I'll mask her. I said, peanuts are a different issue. If you're going to have peanuts, let me know.
Uh-huh.
I will remove
her from the
row. No, we will go back into the, you know, that we go back to where, like, the back area is behind the bathroom.
Then from behind came quite the gem. A mutter over peanut M&Ms. You can't tell me what I can eat. Real hero stuff from seat 18.
He said, I hear him say, you can't tell me what to eat. I said, dude, I'll just go in the back.
Yeah.
Like, just tell me. I will remove
her from
the seat.
But you didn't say this.
Seat.
This is all in an inner monologue.
No, he said it.
Yeah.
And I said, I will remove her. I put the mask on her.
Yeah.
I said, I will bring her in the back.
Okay.
And then.
But here's the part that made me laugh. When I look back on his behalf, Mr. Tough Guy found the floor, studied his shoes and nothing more.
Look at you.
He would not. So of course, peanut M&Ms has a very distinct smell. And as a mom, I am hyper vigilant to the smell, right?
Yeah.
So I smell it. I stand up because I was like, just tell me.
But wait a minute. Again, I thought there had been an actual conversation, but they didn't.
Yes.
So
he did it anyway.
Yeah.
He ate the peanuts anyway to spite me. Like I'm making this up like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And I get up and I stare at him.
You give him the lasers.
Oh, it was like Mama Bear came out and I was like, what is wrong with you?
Let me see him. Let me see him right now. Hold on. No.
He wouldn't look at me.
No.
And I was like, this guy's got to be kidding me. So I immediately tell my husband. I'm like, Paul!
Go get him!
So Paul
Go
stands
him,
up.
Paul.
And Paul stands up and looks at him, and he will not meet our gaze.
You guys are lucky eating an air marshal.
Oh, peanut M&M man.
When animals attack. If you haven't seen the bison charging at a grandfather and flipping him into the air at Yellowstone, take a minute today and Google it.
I mean, that is an amazing piece of video there. I remember seeing that on the beach. And here's the thing is I'm watching it. Grandfather attacked by bison is the headline. And for a while, he gives that bison a run. Like, I think he's going to be able to juke him. I think he's going to be able to dodge him. But that bison doesn't give up.
So he's recovering the grandfather in the hospital right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but he is.
And he did an interview talking about what happened.
We saw the bison, and he was down. He wasn't showing aggression or anything like that until it picked a target. That target happened to be me.
Right.
They moved faster than you could ever imagine. Yeah. He just kept coming, and he was more aggressive. And as soon as he got off that tree, he launched me in the air. I didn't get bruises from him launching me in the air. It was the landing that became the problem.
Right, because he was like 8 feet in the air.
It was like a matador, man, where he just grabbed him by that horn and just flipped him. I mean, it was at least 8 feet in the air.
He was
way up there. And, you know, head over or pot or whatever they call it, man. He went head over heels. It was wild.
Ironically, way before that
video. I can't believe he's alive.
way before that video went viral, I had booked my family for a bison tour on Catalina Island for
our
getaway.
Who does this?
Yeah. Right. So I guess the irony is ridiculous. A long time ago, they brought some bison to this island for a movie shoot. The bison ran away and made bison babies, and now they all live on this island. Now, Hayden,
that's crazy.
It is crazy. Hayden, my teenager, was terrified because she had just seen the video and she's like, Mom, we're going on a bison tour. I'm like, listen, they're non-refundable. We're going on a tour.
We're
going
to do this.
And she was in the seat that was closest to the bison. Hayden, how far do you think that bison was from you?
It was like 5 feet away from me.
Yeah. And when you locked eyes with it, even though I specifically said don't lock eyes with the bison, how did you feel?
It was terrifying.
Right.
Is bison the same thing as, like, I know you're not supposed to stare a dog in the face, right?
I don't know what the rules were.
Right. Do bison smell fear?
Yeah.
Does bison, if you lock a gaze with it, does it think that you're a mate? Does it think that you're an aggressor? I don't really know.
I thought that the bison would think Hayden is her sister because they have similar hair. So can you explain the feelings you had at that moment?
Well, there was the video of the guy being thrown by a bison.
Yeah.
So I was scared it was going to charge at us and then throw me or something like that. So I was scared for my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing happened, though, right? She was totally safe.
Oh,
I mean, obviously, you're still alive.
100%.
Yeah, no, we were strapped into that Hummer. Like, we weren't going anywhere. Even if that bison charged you, there was nothing. Like, you were stuck in that Hummer. It would have just pierced your body. But luckily, I had you in between me and the bison, so I could use you as protection.
Perfect.
Like armor.
Yeah.
Like a shield.
Yeah. You know, when
that's nice.
Faced with wildlife danger like this, there's only one thing to do, Anna.
Sacrifice your 17-year-old?
That and the buffalo stance, of course.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you survived, and I'm glad you protected your family from the bison attack.
Thank you.
I just want to go on record. The bison did not attack. The bison stared at her down and then just put its head down and kind of just laid there. They were very cute, weren't they?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Okay.
Right. And you never know what they're going to do.
All right. Well, love you. Have a great day. Glad everything turned out well.
Glad you're alive.
Yep.
All right.
Cool. Bye, princess.
Don't have a shattered femur like that grandfather.
1-800-330-9999. Your bison encounter. Just kidding. Your animal encounter. What happened to you when you went face to face with a wild animal? When animals attack. If you missed the video from the grandfather being tossed in the air at Yellowstone last week, good news. He's doing interviews saying that he's doing well
and he's
recovering in a hospital. Ironically, I had scheduled my daughter, my whole family, on a bison tour the day after that video went viral. And my daughter was face to face with a bison. If you want to see that video, it's on our Instagram at Anna and Raven.
I'd be sure you were out to kill us. You know, when you encounter animals, Anna, you have no idea what's going to happen. They're just unpredictable. I encountered three French poodles yesterday and they all tried to pee all around my legs because they got so excited when I saw them.
That means they like you. When dogs pee when they see you, that means they like you.
Yeah, but, you know, I like them to be a little bit more predictable, at least with their bladder anyways.
What was your wild animal encounter? 1-800-330-9999. Mary?
I was strapping my son into his car seat, and he saw, it wasn't a wild animal, it was a deer. And he said, look, Mommy, a reindeer. Turned around. And the reindeer was right behind me, staring at me. But he didn't do anything. He was just looking at me. But I was petrified. I thought he was going to do something.
Get in the car and buckle itself in.
Carjack you, basically. No, they're scary, man, with those dull eyes, right? Like, you just see those black eyes there. And Disclosure Day, you know the aliens are coming because all the animals just show up and stare at you. It's creepy.
Look, Mommy, a reindeer.
lucky Santa Claus didn't show up.
Yeah, broad daylight. I'm thinking like he's got rabies.
No.
Back up, Bambi.
Right?
Back up.
Pam, when animals attack, what happened?
I have a small farm, and the horses were going crazy. My dogs were barking. It was early in the morning. In my bathrobe, I opened the door to go see what's happening, and my Yorkie got out and starts chasing something. And I look out, and she's chasing an ostrich.
Oh, wow.
So I go out, and I'm like yelling, Spike, which is the dog's name, get over here. And the ostrich turned and started chasing me.
Right, right. The ostrich wasn't affected by the Yorkie. I mean, they're so tiny. Oh. But it's like, okay, adversary, I'm about to take you out.
I'm a target. Right. Yes. So they're fast. They're big.
Oh, yeah.
And they kick out. So I was hauling butt. Thank goodness I'm a runner. And I ran around the house 4 or 5 times. I yelled to my wife to help me. She's laughing so hard she couldn't do anything.
No.
I said, open the door. So she opens the door. The Yorkie runs in. I think, great. And the Yorkie ran out the back door.
Oh,
so
no.
This went on for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and I was just dying. And finally, we got inside and called DNR, and yes, people were releasing ostriches because they were no longer worth any money back then, so
oh
they were just
gosh.
Turning them loose.
Can you imagine what a world?
It hung around the barn and area for about 2 hours and then took off, but nobody would come get it.
That is terrible. You know, I mean, Anna, I don't know if you know this, but ostriches have talons on their feet. It can totally cut you wide open.
Ostriches are also terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, it'll kill you.
The way their legs bend, I don't know. I've never been okay with it.
And they pick straight out like 4 or 5 feet. They're huge.
Yes, yes. They're very big and strong.
And, you know, I'm in the bathroom hanging onto my boobs because I'm well endowed and trying not to bounce all over the place. So, yeah, it was quite a sight.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Thanks for being with us. I'm glad you made it.
Pam.
And
glad
the Yorkie.
Yeah, I love y'all's show. Thank you so much.
This seems like bad news for the German. When was the last time you called out of work sick? Were you really sick? This just got very hard to do if you live in Germany. Here's the German chancellor speaking actual German.
Zum 1.1.2027 Wir befinden uns mit den nach Corona exorbitant gewordenen Krankenständen in den Unternehmen nicht ab. Wir schaffen die telefonische Krankschreibung ab.
No, I know. Yeah, 100%. Right. Yeah. If you don't actually speak German, what he's saying is effective January 1st, 2027, Germany ends phone sick leave. There have been exorbitant levels of sick leave in companies following the coronavirus.
How fortunate that our audience members really are that both of us speak fluent German to be able to talk to you about this, because this is a rising tide we need to be worried about, Anna.
Yeah, he continues.
Und führen die Vorlage einer Arbeitsunfähigkeitsbescheinigung ab dem ersten Krankheitstag an.
Yeah.
Das ist eine harte Entscheidung, das wissen wir.
Aber wir
können uns diesen Wettbewerbsnachteil durch lange...
I know.
When he really... he meant it.
Yeah, what he was saying is
that's what he meant it.
They're abolishing calling in sick over the phone, and now you have to require a written certificate.
Oh no.
From work.
Doctors know.
Day one. Yeah, from day one.
Yeah.
You can't just like say I have a cold, I have a tummy ache.
Abwesenheiten in den Unternehmen nicht länger.
I know.
That happens all the time if we don't take care of that, then that happens all the time.
He says it's a tough decision. However, they can no longer afford the competitive disadvantage by long periods of absences.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is how China's going to beat you, I guess, Germany.
Yep. You can't call out a sick anymore. You have to have a doctor's note. Like, right now is the perfect time to call out a sick, because all you have to say is you have the diarrhea parasite.
Mm.
And people will be like, oh, gosh, stay away from the lettuce. I get it. We've been hearing about it all over the news. But you can't get away with that anymore.
I've got Canadian smoke sickness. Right?
Oh.
If I just... Oh.
No.
I'm sorry. My lungs are weak today.
Now, calling out of work sick is something that... I feel like you really can't get away with anymore.
Some people are good at it, though. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean, perfect example.
Right. Okay? When was the last time you called out of work, and what was the actual excuse you gave that worked? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Funny enough, I just told them that I sneezed and threw out my back. It worked.
I mean, at a certain age, that's a real thing. At a certain age, with a lack of stretching, that can be a real thing.
Throwing out your back is a good one.
Yeah, because nobody can prove it.
Right.
You can't see it, right? Like, I used to think it was a myth when people would be like, oh, his back went out, and you wouldn't see them for 3 days, and then you'd see them, and they were walking like a box, like mm-hmm. Frankenstein. I never experienced that until, like, I don't know, 9 months ago.
Granted, all of this was not true.
Yeah, well.
Oh, he lied. He lied.
Well, good luck.
I remember my first time my mom threw out her back. She called me. She's like, you have to come help. And I went, and she was, like, hunched over, like, 90 degrees.
And you were like, why don't you just stand up? Yeah, you're just, like, trying
can't.
To grab her. And she's like, ah!
And then I had to get her in the car to bring her to the hospital. And I was like, and we're both laughing so hard.
Yeah.
But, like.
But that hurts, too.
Yeah.
Your back is thrown out. You know, you walk in, and they're stuck on the floor.
Yeah.
Or against a wall? Yeah.
What excuse did you give to get out of work? 1-800-330-9999. Got to get more creative. Beginning on January 1st, in Germany, it will be illegal to call out of work sick. You have to have a doctor's note from day one. I guess people are just calling out left and right.
Yeah. If I wanted to say something terrible, I'd say it in German right now. That way nobody would understand it. But I'll let my homie do it for me.
Wir befinden uns mit den nach Corona exorbitant gewordenen Krankenständen in den Unternehmen nicht ab.
Exorbitant amount of people have been calling out of work sick.
Precisely.
That's why they got to do this. But if you ever called out, how creative did you get? 1-800-330-9999.
My dog was sick. My dog has rights, and he used one of my sick days. Now, he really wasn't sick, but who can prove it?
What country just passed that law?
I thought it was Italy.
Italy? Yeah, I think Italy just passed the law where you get pet sick days, too.
It's like 5 or 7 days per year.
For your pet.
And your pet has rights. That's exact. I like the way you said it. Yep.
And I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I love pets and I like days off just like everybody else. But to me, I was like, you don't need special sick days for your dog. Mm. I mean, you need special sick days for your kids, maybe, but not your dog.
No, I'll lobby for all of it.
Xavier, what was the excuse you used when you called out sick and did it work?
It wasn't calling out sick. It was just calling out. But I told my manager that I was locked inside my apartment and it worked.
But locked inside it?
Yes.
Well, what was the explanation of that? Bomb scare? So it was, hallway falling apart? What?
No. It was this really bad, low-budget upstairs apartment. The screws that held the doorknob together had gotten loose and jammed into the doorframe, so I couldn't open my door. I had to go to Home Depot. It was just a long day.
I'm not going for that if I'm the supervisor.
I do, because that's so legit, and I think it's happened more times than you think. We had it happen here at work twice. Rebecca, one of our old interns, she got stuck in the elevator.
Oh, well, the elevator here is a death trap.
Like, if you get called from the elevator, you're like, hi, I'm just in the elevator. Yeah. Like, I can't get to work because I'm stuck in the elevator in this building.
We would buy that.
Yeah, we would understand.
But I mean, would a regular person buy that?
Then there was that time a long time ago, Raven, before you worked here, where the guy got stuck in the bathroom stall. He couldn't get out of the bathroom stall.
I mean,
and he was visually impaired, so they couldn't get him out. And that was the whole thing. They had to call somebody to come, like, basically undo the lock or whatever they had to do to get him out. And that was legit, too.
I mean, you couldn't just say, it's to the left. You couldn't just be, like, outside the door and try to guide him?
No, it was stuck. It was broken. He knew how to do a lock. It was just, he couldn't get out.
One of my dogs is blind now. He just follows the other one around. He can smell him. You know?
I don't think this is the same situation. I don't think so at all.
No?
No.
All right.
No.
I'd be like, over here, man. No. It's over here. No, you're cold. No. Okay, getting warmer.
I don't
getting
think
warmer.
Like Katie, how about you? What was the excuse you gave when you called out for Mark?
I told my boss that I had diarrhea, and I would be happy to come in if he wanted to pay me to sit on the toilet, but I was going to be taking up the bathroom space either way.
Yep.
Diarrhea is one of those ones where it's like a one-sentence excuse, right? Like, you don't need more explanation.
No. There's. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the time we had a meeting with one of our big bosses, with Peter? Do you remember this?
Mm.
And we were supposed to meet, and it was right after the holidays, and I had a stomach bug. And
he's a very
germs.
Serious guy.
Yeah, he's serious, doesn't like germs. And I wrote back, well, it's been 24 hours since I vomited, so I think we could still have the meeting. And the minute I hit send on that email...
You knew it was over.
I knew it was... I regretted it because, like, he was going to be so disgusted on so many levels. And not only was he disgusted, but we never had that meeting and he never rescheduled it
Never had a meeting since.
We never had another one.
It's over it.
He was like, it's 5 years later. He's still waiting for me to get over the throw up.
He's still leery about shaking your hand. He's like, all these years later.
She puked once. I remember. She admitted it in email, a company email.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale and get 30% off select paints and stains. Now through the 27th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. James and Tammy. James, you know what? Let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, my cousin's getting married, and we are going to Bermuda on a little wedding trip. And I found out that the bar is a cash bar. So I'm saying that we shouldn't get them a gift because, you know, we're only getting like one meal out of it. We have to pay for the flight. You know, it's a lot to ask.
I think that it's really tacky if you show up to someone's wedding and you don't give at least something. I think, you know, it's kind of disappointing that, yeah, it's a cash bar. But, hey, let's face it, weddings are expensive, and I think we should at least give $100. If we couldn't afford to go, then we shouldn't have made arrangements. We should have just sent a card, but we agreed to it. So don't punk out now. It's really in poor taste.
I mean, Tammy sounds really rational to me. On the other hand, oh my gosh, a cash bar? I can't even imagine that on a destination wedding. I mean, you have to account for the alcohol at the very least for your guests. That's shocking to me.
Is there a reason why, James, that they're not having...
Well, it's got to be money, right?
I would think. I don't know.
I mean, it's got to be the only reason.
How do you
right?
ask people to go to Bermuda for your wedding and you're not even going to give them a glass of wine?
I mean, you get off at the airport and don't they give you like a Mai Tai or something like right there?
Are you close with your cousin, James?
Oh, I would say pretty close, but, like, I would say that kind of makes the argument that, like, it's not that big of a deal if we don't get him a gift. Maybe we'd understand a little more.
To me, if you're not going to give a gift, if you're not going the whole way, then, you know, why even go?
Yep, that's how I feel. If it was that big of a strain, we should have just sent a card and sent our congratulations, but we're actually showing up. It's in poor taste, and I don't want to be showing up at family functions later and... like his cousin looking at us, like, look at these cheap
Right. You know what? Let's see what the audience says, because they may agree with you, Tammy, that you're going to a wedding. How do you not bring a gift? I understand accommodations and flight and all that is expensive, and you're upset about the fact that there's not even going to be alcohol at the party. I understand, but it's still a party you're going to, and you should bring something. It doesn't have to be extravagant, but something. But they may see James' side, too. It's expensive, and if they're not paying for alcohol, then you're not bringing a gift. That's the end of it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
A lot of calls coming in, and people are really fired up. They're going to a wedding, James and Tammy. It's a destination wedding. It's all the way in Bermuda. Now, the problem is, this is James' cousin, and he just found out it's cash bar. We got to pay for our flights. We got to pay for our hotel. We got to pay for all our food. We get one free meal. We're not giving a gift. But Tammy's got a real problem with that.
Yeah, she thinks that if you're going to attend anything like this, you have to bring some sort of gift, at least a card with something in it. It can't just be like a, hey, congratulations. Destination weddings, they are expensive.
It's asking a lot to go to a destination wedding.
It is, really. But, you know, that's the thing about a destination wedding, too. You put out the list, and if people can come, they come, and if they can't, they can't. My experience is that if they're there, you're happy to share the experience with them. If anything, send a gift ahead of time here. That way you don't have to travel with it. But I also know that when you're on a tropical location, drinks are really expensive.
Christy, you're siding with James on not to give a gift. Why?
I had a destination wedding myself. We had about 17 people there. That's all that was able to go. These people are paying for their flights. They're paying for the stay. They shouldn't have to give a gift. We didn't get a gift from one person.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. James and Tammy are going to a destination wedding. It's James' cousin. They're going to Bermuda. And James is kind of aggravated because the whole thing is expensive. Flight, everything, hotel accommodations. But he just found out the wedding has a cash bar. And he's so upset about that. He's like, are you kidding me? We have to go all the way there. They're not even going to buy us a beer. That he says that they shouldn't give a gift. But Tammy, his wife, definitely disagrees.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's just about booze. I think it's about the fact that you're incurring a lot of expenses. Tammy just says, even if I might agree with that sentiment, we still have to bring a gift. If we're going, we have to bring something.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm definitely on the wife's side. I think that it's about the wedding. It's about their vows. It's about celebrating with the couple. It's not about going to Bermuda and getting trashed. So I think the husband's a jerk. He can't make or break the whole reason why you would go to the celebration.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
$22.50 a drink. I don't know. Good luck after that reception.
Hey, Imani, whose side are you on?
I'm with the wife's side, definitely. First of all, if you think that you're going on vacation, are you planning to be drunk in the wedding? What's the point to be fine? But, you know, $8 is not going to break your pocket, but it would be better to give them a gift that will show in the future that you give them a gift and you don't be drunk in the wedding. And I think that's that theme.
Hey, Vanessa, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. I think it's just really bad etiquette to show up at a function, especially a wedding, without a gift. So I say take the money you were planning on spending on booze and buy the gift.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tammy, our audience agreed with you today. You got to bring something. Even $100 an envelope, $50 an envelope, a vase, I don't know, something they registered for, a toaster, pack it in the luggage. But you can't go empty-handed to a wedding.
Don't bring a vase, man. People just hate vases.
It's true. And picture frames. Like, nobody wants a picture frame.
I mean, you got too many of them. Man.
Yeah. I think that's the right thing. It's just etiquette. It's just basic respect. So I'm glad that they agreed.
James, what do you think?
I mean, I guess I can see the other side of it too. Like, it's just a respect thing, but like I said, those drinks are going to be expensive. Like, I don't know. I guess I should have thought about that before RSVPing. But I just kind of thought, you know, like a little cocktail hour was a given at a destination wedding. So, but you know, I can humble up. We can get them a gift.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$400 is a jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Richard, you ready to play?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, Richard, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Richard. Here we go.
Thank you.
Bucks.
All right, here we go. Raven's going to walk out of here. When that door closes, he's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you these 5 pop culture questions. Remember, Richard, you only have 3 seconds to answer each one, so if you're not sure, take a guess. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Ready.
Number one, The Odyssey blew past expectations with $124 million opening weekend in the U.S. What actor plays the main hero, Odysseus?
Matt Damon.
Number two, Mark Hamill's lightsaber from The Empire Strikes Back just sold at auction for $3.75 million. Who is Luke Skywalker's father?
Anakin Skywalker, also known as Darth Vader.
Number three, Jimothy is the raccoon in the Seattle area that's going viral because he has a short spine syndrome and he looks rounded. What's the name of the famous weapon-carrying raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Rocky. I can't remember.
What did you say it was?
Rocky.
Number four, Shania Twain brought her horses with her to London when she opened for Harry Styles on tour. She says that she rides in her pajamas in the mornings, barefoot. Okay. Finish the next line to the opening lyrics to You're Still the One. Looks like we made it.
Nope, can't do it.
Number five, ESPY Awards were last week. Olympic gymnast Simone Biles presented the ESPY for best team to the New York Knicks. What does ESPY stand for?
And it's ESPN, Entertainment Sports.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in.
Oh, dear. And I guess I wasn't ready.
All right. 2 out of 5 for Richard.
Yeah, I do. Here we go.
Number one, The Odyssey blew past expectations with $124 million opening weekend in the U.S.
Yeah.
What actor plays the main hero, Odysseus?
Matt Damon.
Correct. Number two, Mark Hamill's lightsaber from The Empire Strikes Back just sold at auction for $3.75 million.
I mean, if you ever want to get me a gift.
Well, it's not going to be that.
Well, still.
It's the new record for a screen-used Star Wars prop.
Okay.
I just have to win the lottery. Who is Luke Skywalker's father?
Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker.
Yes. Number three, Jimothy is the raccoon in the Seattle area that's going viral because he has a short spine syndrome and he looks rounded. He looks like a little creature. It's freaky looking.
I'm rooting for him.
I mean, he's fine. He's like, he's adapted. He's well-rounded. See what I did there? He's well-rounded.
Stop it.
What's the name of the famous weapon-carrying raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Bradley Cooper's Rocket Raccoon.
Yes. Number four, Shania Twain brought her horses with her to London when she opened for Harry Styles on tour. She says that she rides in her pajamas in the morning, and she's always barefoot.
Good for her.
Finish the next line to the opening lyrics to You're Still the One. Looks like we made it.
Look how far we've come now, baby.
It's actually My Baby.
My Baby?
Yeah. Number five, ESPY Awards were last week. Olympic gymnast Simone Biles presented the ESPY for Best Team to the New York Knicks. Okay. What does ESPY stand for?
Exceptional Sports, I don't know.
Excellence in Sports Performance Yearly.
Okay.
I want to thank Gustavs. He supplied that question. If you ever have an idea for a question, too, you can submit it at annonraven.com. But, Richard, it's not your day. He beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
I haven't had one in a long time. I could use a new one.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, man. $500 tomorrow, Anna.